Parks Department is submitting to the legislature. And with that, Mr. Director, would you talk to us about the forms?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. My name is Tim Wood, Director of the Oregon Parks Recreation Department, and we do have two reports that were required by legislative direction. First one is to do with the expenditure of how we have expended the funds that we have received for that we received through the sale of salmon plate revenue or through salmon license plates. As we discussed yesterday in one of our budget packages includes calling out a portion of these funds to be specifically dedicated to salmon habitat restoration projects. Now, the purpose of this report was to report to the legislature that these funds, how these funds are being used for the purposes of salmon habitat restoration. It wasn't explicit in the legislation that allocated these funds to the department that it was for those purposes, but a budget note was inserted a couple of sessions ago because it was believed that the intent of the bill sponsor was that these funds would be used for that purpose. And so what we have here is an aggregation, if you will, of how the funds have been used by categories. And I have a six-page list of specific projects that have gone into making up this aggregate. And they include things like a bank erosion control in streams, a culvert replacement, replacing woody debris in streams, invasive species removal, interpretive and education programs related to salmon and salmon habitat. And those are pretty big. Pretty good examples of the kinds of projects, the way we've used those funds.
Ms. Jordan, do you have any recommendation for us?
Legislative Assistant's recommendation is to approve the request to acknowledge receipt of this report.
And I forgot to ask if our FAM analyst wants to weigh in on this.
Madam Chair, we actually don't make a recommendation on the board.
Thank you. Committee members, any discussion?
Move to accept the report.
Don't have a quorum.
We
can't take action.
Okay, we will just table that one. Let's take the second one.
Yes, Madam Chair. The second report, during the last session of the legislature, we were given a specific authority with regard to fee waivers. And so our commission has adopted some policy to implement the legislative mandate or the change to the statute. One of the specific things that the statute last session did was it granted free use, day use, and camping for veterans and active duty military folks on leave on three holidays, all related to patriotic holidays: Memorial Day, 4th of July, and November 11th, Armed Forces Day or Armistice Day, Veterans Day. So we have implemented this program. When the bill was passed and adopted at the end of last session, we went into a rulemaking process. Our commission adopted rules for implementing this. It was implemented for veterans. The first time would have been May of 04 for Memorial Day of 04. So we've had three holidays worth of experience with regard to how veterans have used that. In addition, then in this biennium, we'll have four experiences, which will be Memorial Day of this year. It wasn't widely advertised, nor was it widely promoted. However, we did work with the Veterans Affairs Department so they could give you the information out to veterans that it was available. There is a House Bill 2425. Which, if it passes in this session, will change this. In fact, what it will do is provide free day use and camping for veterans with service-connected disabilities any time during the year. And so our fiscal impact that we prepared for implementation of the bill that was adopted last session was really it was really best guess information we had as to how veterans might use this. for the House Bill 2425. I think we probably have better data because there's a similar program in Washington State Parks, and we kind of modeled our fiscal impact over that. One of the issues I think is, and as Susie has identified in her report, is the need to be able to monitor this and put an estimated value on what those waivers are, or the value of the waivers. One important portion of our fee waiver program is that it allows us to provide good customer service. If we have a customer that feels like they didn't get what they paid for, it provides an opportunity to provide a refund or a rebate and make that customer satisfied. It also provides opportunities for volunteer groups to get free camping or free services in exchange for in lieu of services or benefits that they might provide parks. Overall, it has, I'm confident that it's well-administered, but I'm also confident that it has not a significant financial impact on the department.
Thank you. Question?
What is the cost to maintain a program? I'm assuming who takes care of all this and figures it all out?
Madam Chair, Senator Bates, the parks that are on our reservation system, central reservation system, it's a simple coding when you do the transaction and enter them. For parks which aren't on the reservation system, then it's done by hand.
LFO have a recommendation.
Yes, we do. Madam Chair, members of the committee, we recommend that you acknowledge receipt of the report and direct the agency to ensure that the upgrade in their reservation system includes a method for tracking statistics on fee waivers, deductions, or exemptions, and the financial impact of these occurrences.
Thank you. Committee members, discussion, questions, comments? I would accept a motion to accept the LFO recommendation on the fee waiver report and on the use of salmon plate revenue report.
So moved.
Have the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. And with that, we will move into the conclusion of the public hearing on House Bill 5056. I'll open a public hearing on House Bill 5056 and ask the agency to move into responses to the subcommittee's priority listing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have no objections nor concerns with regards to the priorities established by the subcommittee. The only comment I would have is that we understand the reason that the acquisition portion of our program was listed as lowest priority was really because of the need we discussed yesterday about identifying a good strategy for property acquisitions, and hopefully if we do a good job at that, perhaps the acquisition program will enjoy a higher priority in the next session, but we have no objections to this.
Bates and Senator Nelson, do you have any comments on the priority list that we did?
No, we were here, went through it when we did it initially, and I feel it's a reasonable thing to do. I think your explanation of acquisitions being last list is right on. I know that Mr. Gregory is going to take care of that for us. I'm not too concerned anymore. he prioritized health care, which was a bigger job than this, and I'm sure he'll do this with the same speed and thoroughness that he did that for us. I agree, though, that it's a very important part of what you're doing long term, that we fulfill the needs of the public as far as we're going to need the next 10, 20, or 30 years, yeah, as far as recreation outdoors is concerned. And being careful where you spend the money is important. And I don't want that money lost from your budget. I want it kept there and spent wisely. And one of the problems is going to be here, I think, that if you do this right, when you find out where the areas are that you want to buy, you're not going to be able to buy right away necessarily because the land won't be available. And it may be years before a certain area, a willing seller shows up. So I think we may see that part of your budget sitting there as that number grows, and I don't want anybody to steal that. This is not one of those, if you don't spend, you lose the deals. This could be a worst-case scenario. Start buying a plan that you really don't think is the top priority, but you don't want to lose your money, and so you spend the money so it can't be lost. I think it's really wise to let that build until you get what you really need to get.
You talked about setting up a program where you prioritize that into the future, and I think that's what we need to do. have comments?
And let's make a note that the legislature doesn't steal that money back because you guys have been careful with it, okay? Because I can see it coming, all right.
you don't want to use state parks for the rainy day fund, is that what you're saying?
Right on. Very correct. Okay. Thank you, Representative.
Let's go on to the review of the responses and the questions from phase one. This is the first I've seen, and so you want to take us through them?
Representative Krieger, I'm going to ask Dave Wright to assist with the first few questions, and then I'll cover the rest of the material in the package.
Good afternoon. I'm Dave Wright, Assistant Director for Operations. We had a couple of specific questions. I think both of them came from Representative Krieger with regard to now how we calculate growth rates and our forest plan. And basically, because of the way we manage our forests, not as commercial forests, but for forest health, we're really not that concerned about growth rate. It's more on stand spacing and trying to make sure that that the forests are healthy and that we don't have hazard trees that are going to fall on park visitors. A few years ago, we contracted with a forest resource company to do an assessment of about 40,000 acres of our forest land that helped us identify what areas were either in need of some real treatment because of insects and disease, or were susceptible to insects and disease, or were high risk for other purposes. And so we have basically divided the state into regions and put together a program for dealing with those issues, primarily in eastern Oregon. It's where the largest amounts are, central and eastern Oregon, where there's been a lot of bug kill. But the revenue from our forest program is a nice byproduct of the work that we do. We're not in it to make money. We're in it to provide a healthy forest. So.
Comments? Committee members on that one?
Oh, Mr. Chair.
I just have the risk of fire. I mean, that's, I think, a huge issue. Are you in there cleaning stuff out, making sure we don't get big clods of stuff that's going to just turn into...
Mr. Chair, Representative Schaffler, yeah, that's exactly why our initial focus over the last several years has been in central and eastern Oregon, and we have worked, for instance, at Lapine, we've worked with the neighbors to go in and do some real fuel reduction within that state park because there was a lot of bug kill, and we've done the same at Wallowa Lake. So it is an important part of our program.
Thank you. Are you making some money doing that, or is it just a cost? Is there some return on some of that work?
Mr. Chair, Representative Schaffler, we do make some money. In fact, we're doing a project. This isn't necessarily our fuel reduction up at Silver Falls, but we're in the process of putting out to bid a project that's going to net about $850,000 worth of revenue to the department for just, you know, improving the spacing from about a 15-foot spacing to 25-foot to open up a forest a little bit more. So there is some, you know, there's some significant money that can be from the work that we do. Unfortunately, in eastern Oregon, a lot of the stuff is pretty small and dying, and it doesn't generate as much revenue, but we still make some money.
Mr. Judges, what was that figure on revenue? You've got 60,000 acres of forest land. How much money did you generate off that a year ago?
Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, I'm not exactly sure what we have budgeted, but I think it's somewhere over $1 million in this biennium that we have generated from the revenue.
Thank you. Last year or 2 years ago, we did that tour over on the east side. You had a big burn in the one park, and you've gone in and taken out a certain amount of material and have done some rehab. Were those open spaces planted, or were you going to allow them to come back on their own? They hadn't got to the planting. If you would have done it, that wouldn't have happened when we were there.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we have planted there. I think last spring. Yeah, we did replant there.
Back to multiple native species then, as much as you can?
Right.
Okay. Well, the next one.
The second question had to do with Sisters Rock. I think, Mr. Chair, this was a question that you asked because it's near and dear to your home. We have been working with the Department of Transportation to provide an access for this. Right now, the problem we had when we acquired this property, we had a couple different access permits, but the road that is built is doesn't have good sight distance north and or south. So just to the south of what we have is a piece of property that is partially part of what we acquired, partially ODOT right-of-way. And it's got better sight distance. We've met with ODOT, and they are willing to transfer one of our access permits to that location. And so we're just waiting for that paperwork to be processed, and then we will sign that as a parking area, first phase parking area with the trail developed down to the jetty road so that people can at least have a nice, a safe place to park and a walking down to the base. And then eventually we hope to develop that road to so that we can at least service a restroom that we're planning on putting down there. So
you do need to have a facility down there.
Yes.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we agree, and that is our goal. And the problem is getting from the top to the bottom, and we want to develop that road so at least it would provide that maintenance access to take care of that facility.
Anything further, committee members, on that one? On the next one.
Mr. Chair, this question had to do with, I think Representative Schaffler brought this up, about how the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, their acquisitions and the state park acquisitions, where they might mesh. And we have benefited from some of the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board funding, particularly with the Whalen Island when we bought that property, and another property on the Willamette River that they partially funded. But really our missions are somewhat different. Our primary goal is to buy this property for the public, for public access. And their goal is to really buy it to enhance watersheds. And in some cases, those two don't jive. But I think we're confident that the work that we're doing is consistent with our mission, and as I'm sure they are. But hopefully that answers your question about that.
We got one more.
Mr. Chair, this was a question I think that Representative Crawford brought up about contracting out, and why, because we were wanting to transfer some limited duration to permanent positions. And, you know, we do a lot of contracting out, but I can tell you from my own experience of recently having to remodel a house that you have to have the owner there to answer questions and pick materials and make sure that the contractor is doing what they're supposed to be doing and what you're paying them for. So, we believe that we have a staff that is adequate to handle the number of contracts we do. We did about 172 contracts with our facility investment program this biennium, and it takes a lot of work to manage those contracts, and unfortunately it's we do need the staff to continue to manage those contracts. So.
Cross-examining, so we'll have to accept that, won't we?
We'll trust you on that one.
Did you want to explain what the rest of the materials were in this package?
Yes, I'm not going to go into any detail on these except to show you, point out that the next page is the background information we used as we analyzed the situation that resulted in our recommendation in our budget package yesterday that would request that you support providing additional funds to defease or retire our bond, our $15 million bond. That's the next two pages. The page that's laid out in landscape is a breakdown of our ending balance. That was included, I believe, in your appendix, but it's been updated here with a little more clarification to it. It includes the $11,944,000 in lottery revenue that we have asked for limitation for in an additional package that we talked about yesterday.
Those additional dollars unexpected that came?
Representative Krieger, there was about $2 million about $1.4 million in 2003-05 that wasn't projected, and then the $9 million additional that was projected for the additional line gains in the coming biennium.
Okay.
And then the next series of pages that provides an overview and a little more background into how we make our decisions regarding our facility investment program. And beginning on The page that looks like this is a compilation of many of the projects which have been completed to date. And then at the very end of this document, there's a list of projects for 05-07 that have been identified and we plan to undertake in this biennium. So that's really the background of those additional papers there, and I'd be glad to answer any questions an hour or later after you had an opportunity to digest it. Would be
First, I want to compliment you again for the work on the bond issue. I think it's very wise use of your resources. I know he's putting some money aside right now for a gain later, but I think you've done a great job. I appreciate your work there. I was also going to ask you about something you may not be aware of, and I don't know if it comes under your purview, but I hope it does. We had a kind of a sad thing happen down in the Rogue Valley. It was late last year in the Lily Glen area. Have you ever heard of Lily Glen? We have a historical barn there that was built back in the 1850s and 60s and that was used regularly for a long time for an equestrian center just outside of Hyatt Lake. And it was a magnificent old building, and it burned down. On fire and burned down. And I wonder if anyone has contacted you about the project and trying to get the money together to rebuild that barn. It was probably the most commonly used equestrian center in Southern Oregon. People came from Northern California and all over Southern Oregon to use it. It was a nice place to camp. The barn was a massive structure, and unfortunately, it went up like a pine cone when it went up, and we couldn't get it to stop burning. Have you been contacted about that at all?
Senator Bates, I recall this discussion, in fact, with some of the folks that were proponents or friends groups or whatever up there, and I don't know whether there were some questions about whether it was a historic property, and then maybe Mr. Hamrick.
I don't think it ever been listed as historic property. It has been continued in use, and I think the county managed it more. I'm not sure it was under. That's why I asked if it was under your control or purview to even help us out in this.
Senator Bates, it is not. I believe it is county owned.
Mr. Chairman, James Hamrick, Assistant Director for Heritage Conservation. Mr. Chairman, Senator Bates, I think actually this came up when Mike was still the director, and I think there was some inquiries as to whether or not any of our historic preservation grant funds could be used to help them rebuild that. And since the property was not listed on the National Register, the answer to that was no, and I'm not quite sure what happened after that.
I'll try to follow up with you later on and see if you can help us out.
Senator Bates, I'll also follow up with the county, too.
I think the complete loss of property probably destroyed the historical value of the foundation, so I doubt that could be recouped, but we'll talk about it. Thank you.
We have a letter here that had to do with the questions that Senator Bates asked.
Mr. Chairman, this is a letter from the Department of Administrative Services to answer questions about the workers' compensation changes. And I defer to Lisa to just kind of describe what's here. We just got it, so. Did you have any comment?
Why there were no workers' compensation charges in the 1990s, and then also
Senator Bates, does this answer your question?
Yeah, it does. This is something we saw across the state, both public and private institutions, with the changes in the workers' comp plans in 1990 and the investment of funds. In the booming stock market, many people finally didn't have to pay into the workers' comp plan at all for 7 or 8 years. The fund maintained itself. And then with the stock market crash, that level was eliminated. Remember, we had lots of discussion. Yes. I think you and I served a committee together in our first session about this. So that's the answer. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't running into a situation where we're having a lot of injuries as a cause. Obviously, it's the same as everybody else states is experiencing. So that makes sense. Thank you.
Chair and Senator Bates, one of the factors that I didn't mention yesterday is that the time loss has been going up as a result of the changes that have been made to the compensation system, and that's reflected in the letter. But it isn't that there are more claims or that the rate of claims are increasing. It has to do more with the length of time folks are out on medical leave.
Tim, do you have anything else for us that you were going to present to us?
Mr. Chair, I do not.
Okay. Committee members, do you have any questions before we go to public testimony?
Mr. Chair, I have one question.
Okay.
Thank you. And it was back on listing the statewide projects, actually the start of facilities investment program description. I had a question regarding, maybe it's not the start, but later on. No, it's under statewide projects, and first of all, the list of projects is sort of mind-boggling how much maintenance and repair, obviously, we need to have for our state parks. But how do you decide under the emergency fund projects? The question I had is, how do you decide what constitutes an emergency, and number one, and two, and how do you budget for how much to have in your emergency fund from biennium to biennium?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dingfelder, to answer the question about how do we determine what is an emergency, these are unprogrammed failures which may occur, a sewer line break or a water pump become unserviceable or something that we wouldn't have anticipated occurring. And so we have reserve a portion of our facility investment budget to address those kinds of issues that come up. And in the previous biennia, we have reserved $500,000 in our emergency fund. And we use that fund to kind of, if we have perhaps contracts that run over cost, we use that to subsidize that, as well as projects which come in under cost. We refund that money into that emergency fund to keep some money available to respond to contingencies during the biennium. Ultimately, by the end of the biennium, all those monies have been obligated to some project or another. In the coming biennia, if we are successful with our budget package, we will increase that contingency fund to $1 million because our program will have almost doubled in the coming biennia.
Yeah. I was going to say $500,000 for all the facilities that you have doesn't seem very much, so I'm just curious how you make that determination. Have you ever completely, one project could take up that much money if you had a whole sewer system blow out or something.
Representative Krieger, Chair Krieger, Representative Dingfelder, and that's true. If we end up and we have some sort of a contingency where we would need more money than we have available, we would make some decisions about going forward with some of the other projects we have scheduled. So we would just bump them likely to the next biennium. So it would be done at the expense of some other project.
Thank you. And then I had one other question about the marine facilities, Mr. Chair. Okay. How do you decide? Is that a cost share program with the Marine Board? And is that if the project is in a state park, then are you responsible for that versus the Marine Board?
Chair Krieger, Representative Dingfelder. If the project is in a state park, we are the operator and maintainer of the project. In most of the projects, most of our marine-related projects are competitive, are partially funded by grants through the Marine Board on a competitive grant basis, so we would compete with anybody that would compete for Marine Board money. And the projects are identified and prioritized sort of jointly between sort of the Marine Board's six-year plan and our needs as well.
So just a clarification, Mr. Chair. If it's listed under Marine Facilities, I'm looking at the second box under statewide projects. So that doesn't mean all of those projects are funded through state parks, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Chair Krieger, Representative Dingfelder, without looking at every one of these, I would assume that there are probably some state parks dollars in each of these, but there are most likely the bulk of those funds are most likely Marine Board grant monies. Some of it's federal monies.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Schaffer,
yeah, thank
question?
You. Yeah, it's actually for Ms. Pearson. You picked my interest when you said that the time loss on the average workman's comp claim is going up. I would assume that's not unique to this department. And then my question too is, I thought we were trending downward due to the actions that have been taken, creating safety committees, educating employer employees. So is that a recent phenomenon? And can you explain? Do you have any reason why it's going up?
Mr. Chair, Representative Schaffler, it is recent. My understanding is from about 2000, and there were some changes apparently. This is not my area of expertise, but apparently there were some changes at the turn of this century, where there was an expansion of what would be a compensable claim, and it sounds like that there were also some consequences of that have made it so that time loss has increased. And yes, safety committee work continues, and one of the reasons that the agency has come in to request a position or half a position to help with that is to manage that situation, and it is not unique to this agency.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Chair, may I? And do you see it, if they made some changes for why someone would be eligible, do you see that leveling off, or is it just continuing to trend upward?
Mr. Chair, Representative Schaffler, I'm not the person to ask.
Okay.
I'm afraid it's really up to
That's okay.
my expertise.
I'll find out. Thank you very much. I appreciate
Anything
it.
Further? Got it done. Thank you. Thank you very much. Do we have anyone sign up for public testimony?
I don't believe we do.
Everybody's out camping.
I don't blame them for that.
Any other comments?
I need you to assign carriers for the reports to the four ways and means.
Okay, who is on the four ways and means?
Me. Are you?
Nope.
Am I the only one?
There's two of you.
When's it going to ways and means?
Who knows?
Not tomorrow.
No.
Fine.
I'll take it. Okay. Thank you.
Anything further? If not, we're adjourned. Thank you.